the extreme stuff was not just shock value. It actually was the opposite of that, where it was just purposeful and private.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ben Fama, and I'm really glad to be here with Bianca Stone.
Welcome, Ben Fama, to the Roost Down Foundation podcast. Ben Fama is visiting right now from New York City. He just gave a fabulous reading in Winooski, Vermont with Bridget Talone and Joseph Kaplan.
And Wendy Chin Tanner also read.
It's like it was another person. So Ben Fama's newest book from Newest York is called Death Wish. And I'm really excited about this book. I feel like every time you have a book come out, there's so much like intention behind it aesthetically and subject-wise, and yet there's such a thread through all your books that I love so much. Ariana Raine says, if your iPhone had any feelings, it would write like Ben Fama. How do you feel about that blurb?
I love an aphorism, which that kind of sounds like if an iPhone... iPhones don't have feelings.
Right.
But they do labor, Siri labors for us. I guess they do take in and process a large amount of information as we do. And they would probably be as ambivalent about all the image repertoire they host as I am. So I agree with her. We were talking about invisible architecture in our craft session. Yeah, we don't always get to see what we're doing. We do a lot of things while making poems that are intuitive, but we don't always know what's guiding that until we're done and it's kind of formed and you get to look at it. And sharing it with other people is kind of the easiest way to see what's going on.
And just for many people who probably don't know what invisible architecture is a reference to, do you want to talk a little bit about what you brought into our
workshop? Barbara Guest was a writer who had over a dozen books, and she wrote art criticism. She wrote essays on poetics, and I pulled an essay from her book Forces of Imagination called Invisible Architecture, and so we read the essay and talked about what she might be suggesting, which, to summarize in one sentence blurb, I guess would be there's unconscious structures at play once the poem starts getting underway, that you have to step back and remove what she calls your arrogant dominion over the poem and let the poem reveal, reach into itself, which sounds kind of mystical, but I think it's pretty practical, which is just to saying, sharpen your intuitions by practicing your writing a lot and seeing what's happening as you write. Look at what the poem wants to be, what it's really about, what interesting things have happened that you might not have expected, and then oscillating between what you had intended versus what's actually happening there, and bringing that out sort of by removing your self-will. It's really powerful, I think.
So powerful.
It's aspirational, something to aspire to.
Yeah, I that's all I want when I sit down to write.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to let go of that control and anxiety that's on the surface of your identity as being a poet who's sitting down to write a poem. That's sort of like the stuff that seems to get in the way of allowing that.
Yeah. We were just like, I'm going to sit down and write a short poem, and then it ends up long.
Yeah.
Or right. I wanted to write another really long poem like I haven't in a while. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe you get something usable that's short, and that's just what happened. And recognizing that the structure of it ended up just being a short poem, it didn't need more. That would be practicing, I think, what she was saying.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about with that, but not to digress too much before we can...
That essay is on Poetry Foundation.
Yeah.
If you want to look it up, Barbara Guest, Invisible Architecture. There's a nice intro also.
Yeah. Really good, really. I hadn't read it before Ben brought it in the other day when he taught a workshop at our house, and it's definitely something I'm going to be using in my classes from now on. Really powerful. So going back to Death Wish, one of the boldest things about this book is not that the font's in purple ink. No, I'm just, that might be the boldest thing. But that you started off with this poem, Fantasy 2.0. Sorry. So tell me a bit about the
So Fantasy 2.0 was a piece I was working on around when I was had to do a reading as part of Greater New York, which was mostly visual art sculpture show that was at MoMA PS1, but they wanted to do a reading as part of it. And so it was summer and I'd been putting together this poem based on news stories, picking the names that kept repeating in the news cycle day after day. And on page 6 on their site, they had a part at the top where they would just put the name of the person the story was about with no other information. Oh, and so to just read a bit from the poem, you know, so it did look like this: Miranda Lambert, Kim Kardashian, Caitlyn Jenner, the Hamptons, celebrity breakups, Ben Affleck, Bill Cosby, Josh Duggar, Bill Clinton, Diane Sawyer, Molly Sims, Jennifer Aniston, Amanda Bynes, Scott Disick, Chris Brown. So Donald Trump, he wasn't president at this point. It was the summer before he got elected. But it was kind of a diary in a way, because I knew I would triangulate like what was happening in my life based on, you know, Bill Cosby being in the news at the same time as Donald Trump and Scott Disick and the U.S. Open, Serena Williams. So in that sense, it's kind of a historical poem, but also to me very personal, because I'm an August baby and I did it during the Leo season. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was called Leo.
Well, it was sort of like Scorpio. That's...
Yeah. I was probably editing it. Actually, it ended, I think it got...
That section ends.
Yeah, so it goes on to more prose stanzas, word-based stanzas.
Yeah, that it went from... I was reading it out loud this morning to Walter, and it was very infectious, the voice of it, even when it's just... You know, it seems like approaching that kind of poem that it would seem boring, like a found, mm-hmm. very conceptual poem, but actually it was very engaging and musically engaging. Mm-hmm. And then to go from the names of mostly people, some places, mm-hmm. To the very short 3-line stanzas, that were like almost like the next level of that,
mm-hmm.
Was such an interesting move.
Yeah, I mean, the names, I could see how, you know, it would, you know, do you need to read it or not? I'm not sure, but it spills into the shift into the first stanza,
which is the stuff I was wondering if you could just read the last page of the names and then start in on the second page.
So this is about 1/3 through the poem. Hilaria and Alec Baldwin, Josh Brolin and Catherine Boyd, Frida Pinto, Jake Gyllenhaal, Johnny Depp, Demi Moore, Dakota Johnson, Dave Franco and Alison Brie, John Travolta, Demi Lovato, Eric Johnson and Jessica Simpson, Natalie Portman, Rihanna, Budweiser, Toilet Christmas, Swan, Ice, Star, Pushy Internet Date, Unauthorized Card Activity, Allow Full Screen, Cod Roast Smear, Politically Off Trend, Promises, Promises, Promises. Then it goes on, Intoxicated by Melancholy, Dreamy Hudson Love, Office Space Available, Poetry, Funeral Party, and stuff. And so the idea of, like, text blocks compounding and spilling onto one each another, changing the meanings of the ones before, that stuff is really fascinating to me. How language is so modular. I mean, it works by signifying with the things around it, so... This was a very new form and probably one I won't use again, but it was, in fact, I kept going with it.
Yeah, it felt like it could go on forever. It was so, it just felt so cool and good to read.
Yeah, I would recommend anyone to try it. There was, Joseph Moscone has this book where it's more, I'd say, an art book where he took found phrases similar to that, and or like three-word sort of word blurbs that he put into this like very Dunkin' Donuts looking font with like very specific color patterns.
Yeah.
And I love reading through it. So I got a lot of inspiration from that form. But I wrote all of mine. I think his were found.
Can you read a poem from the book?
Sure. This is After a Party. After a Party. After we smoked angel dust, you asked how I was feeling. I wanted to say, but couldn't, thinking through a death wish, tangled up with you. Someone who didn't interest me should have been drowning in the soaking tub, but wasn't, and kept talking as you tapped ashes out of the louvered penthouse windows. There were Roman shades in the large solarium, moans from the MMF happening nearby, heavy liquidity, strange and lonely. Was that you whose face I stroked the cheek of, leather and champagne, by wanting like a mist spread over this room of strangers? Satanic courtship. Dating, how lovely love only finds its truth in death, dust burning into the plastic daybreak. A plain morning, you wish to sleep alone, but send me selfies from bed. I like it cruel like this, how the sun rises just like yesterday. Great party. Really fantastic party there.
Sounds like it. Your whole book, I feel like, I like it cool like this, is a good term, or a good line for the book, where there's this sort of, there's this sort of masochism or destructiveness in the midst of, like, a great party. You know, and I know some reviewers talked about how actually the book is very joyous or celebratory. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, because like going into a book called Death Wish that's all black cover, presupposes its darkness. But
yeah, it didn't end up as bleak as the mindset I was in when I wrote it.
Well, I think you like mislead a lot of times in your tone, and there's like a lot of irony, not even irony, but maybe because I feel like irony could be construed as too, irony is almost like too mean or clever.
Mm-hmm.
I think you like humor, and I think you like sincerity at the same time. And I think having humor and sincerity in a very dark place is what makes it feel like there's possibility. And it's not just like depressing.
Yeah. I mean, almost anything can still be funny also,
mm-hmm.
while being itself. And, you know, if you can make it kind of funny, I think that's always good in writing. It's not easy to write humor, especially just wry or sort of slant.
Yeah.
In tone. You know, it's hard to be self-aware in the poems without feeling like you're trying to wink at the reader, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's really, I recoil from that when people, I can tell I'm being set up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, they're just, it's so gimmicky.
You know, I mean, I know people are going to read this, and I guess my sort of slant is like a respectful sense of trying to be aware that poetry is dramatic. People are reading, and I'm like putting on this dramatic display mm-hmm. through the poem.
Yeah.
And I want to be respectful of what I'm talking about, but also, I mean, a lot of the things that seem extreme in here are very earnest.
Yeah. Read another one. More poems.
Blah, 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 blah. I kind of want to read an extreme one.
Yeah. I feel like now we've set it up. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Ben Fama about Death Wish.
Death Wish. I don't want to die old, too old to die young, inadequate to describe the beauty of Venice's skaters. I wish for your company. Blondes blow me kisses. Sun Street psycho surfer. The Hitachi is brutal. Everyone agreed. Just to care for someone's pleasure. Here's one, Matinee. At the end of the film, she turned to me, tears on her cheeks, and said quietly, "I hate cops." I said, "Oh, well, let's take a walk, and if I go to Paris with you, we'll drive out of the city. I'll draw you a bath in the hills above Cannes." Obviously, I did not go to Paris with this person. I didn't rent a car in Paris and drive them into the French countryside and draw them a bath.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did, though.
That would be nice, but I think, you know, I went so big at the end there with this, like, insane, delusional plan because if you're going to go, you know, if I was, like, going to mention going to Paris with someone, obviously, like, you know, you're in the, like, talk, you know, there's, like, two people here and things aren't good in, like, this, like, dream of escape.
Yeah.
It's, like, might as well just take that dream all the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
after biting titties on PCP. It's like, just take her to Paris, man.
Bianca, do you want to say what you're talking about? That was a different poem that I was not going to read, and I won't, probably.
Why?
That's kind of the whole poem.
Yeah, it's like a super short poem.
Sometimes I can't believe I published any of this stuff. The hell was wrong with me?
I know. I mean... Wow. I know. I just mean, like... It's full of it's intense. It's intense. Like, and you manage, like, intensity in very tiny moments. So, that's a master skill, and it's not like it's shocking, but it's not like shock value poetry, you know? It's not like,
yeah, I mean, there's a neurotica section here, yeah. That's what you mentioned. And I was seeing someone who's another poet, we
Did
were
you
in
say erotica or neurotica,
erotic,
a little neurotic to know,
neurotica could be your, you could do that,
neurotica.
But she was a poet too, and, you know, our relationship dynamic was such that she wanted me to, like, write a lot of poems about her, or she would, like, tell me to, like, give me assignments.
Oh my God.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, did give me permission to write erotica, because that's what she wanted. So these were, you know, extremely private, and then later she was like, you could put these in, like, a zine or make, a chapbook of these for me. And then I didn't end up doing that, but I realized they could go into this book, and we talked about it, and they said it was cool. So the extreme stuff was not just shock value. It actually was the opposite of that, where it was just purposeful and private.
Yeah.
And I've obscured it enough that I believe the world can get things out of it without seeing it too much into this, like, very private part of my life.
Yeah.
Which is in the past now. Locked tightly between the covers of this forgotten lore.
Yes, but it's gonna become canonical, and then the world will be private life forever.
Canonical is very high compliment. Thank you. I don't know if that's true, but...
Well, if any of us, if any poetry ever manages to live forever, besides what's already been living forever, I hope it's this. I think also, like, you know, you talked about the beginning poems as being sort of, like, historical, but, you know, one unique thing about your poetry is that you do have a lot of cultural references, and it's very, like, of this time, and yet at the, and simultaneously, like, I don't think you need to be in this time to enjoy it, just like, but it does appreciate the sort of sounds and flavors of our contemporary culture, our celebrities, mm-hmm. our, you know, our media, our devices, our language, you know, our, like, weird language that's always changing and cropping up and... that's all tied to that stuff.
Language is more interesting now than it's... Well, I haven't been around forever. I can't say it's more interesting now, like, than it's ever been. Language is really juicy right now.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to see what people are doing with it regarding form.
Yeah.
I mean, my form is pretty conservative. You know, I write mostly lyric poems, left-aligned. I guess I was more... mannered in Death Wish than my previous books. Maybe because the content was just so extreme for me to try to manage. I didn't feel like I needed to be overblown in my page designs or format, formal choices.
But it's a beautifully made book, and tell me about the images that you have in here.
So Newest York had a designer, Louisa Dale, who designed the whole book, and it was, you know, all this was mostly her idea. I wanted foil on the cover, if they could do it, to keep a sort of lineage with fantasy,
because
I do see them as very related.
Yeah.
And then the rest, she did. She chose a sort of...
It almost looked like, some of them look like lilies, which is very, like, funeral feeling.
Yeah.
Or, like, a... Yeah, that's definitely...
Yeah, there's very much like a close-up...
Yeah, close-up...
Hazy decay
yeah.
with like a purple filter over the full bleed
almost
images.
Like, almost like old, or like VHS film.
But yeah, I'm really happy with what Newest York did.
To finish up here, like, tell me a little bit about what you're working on now. And
yeah, so I've been also working on fiction, which mechanically is much different. And it satisfies me in a much different way, and that's been a very big struggle. I wrote an entire novel draft, and I'm working with the agent on it.
Nice.
But I kind of procrastinated by writing all of Death Wish instead of editing my novel. And now the novel is, you know, it's two drafts in, and I'm kind of putting it in the drawer and starting something else as far as fiction goes, which is also exciting. And kind of just waiting to see what's gonna come to me next. I'm working on another book of poems, tentatively titled Compersion, which is the concept of the generosity of and feeling the joy of seeing someone you love feel pleasure that they're not getting from you.
Oh my God, that's such an incredible word. It's so much
yeah.
in it.
So I'm trying to rise up to the level of all the different things this thing means and all the contradictions in myself that are brought up when I'm trying to feel this. So I'm writing, so that's like a longer poem I'm working on. Compersion hopefully will be book length. And then I'm also working on the novel, which is about my friend Rachel and I were calling it the Great American Polly novel, but it's not really that. It's more of about someone who goes through a breakup and falls into a set of sexually ambitious people.
Well, it's all incredible. I'm so excited about what you're doing. Just to sing us out, you could end with a poem from Death Wish.
Sure.
And thank you again. I will put a link to where to buy Ben Fama's books on the show notes of the podcast. And in the coming months, we're going to be making a library of audio poems from all our readings, so you'll be able to hear his reading from the other night on our website.
June emotional poem. Even in summer, I miss summer. Emerging markets, sieve of massacres, suffering together at the desert's edge. When I die, bury me in my matching pajama set with a bottle of champagne, then have a drink for me. It's been so long, tan in Savannah, denuded at Myrtle Beach, feeling alive on a rental car ride. Good credit is a man's best friend, deterritorialized production. I'd like to sharpen my tone, brighten the contrast, so nodes of contact distend to various cultural accounts. Dreams have never clarified anything I've ever wanted. I know there's an answer if you're going to San Francisco. This sounds like a poor man's Ben Fama poem, but I am a poor man.